Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and, well, for this next hour, they're going to be your views as well, because this is Open Line Wednesday, and if you'd like to call in, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We'd love to know what you're thinking about, what you're concerned about, and if we can answer questions or you have something you'd like to say, why, this is your chance on Coast to Coast Radio. Well, I thought maybe we'd talk this evening about the financial situation, because it's really one of the major things that's going to affect everybody listening to the audience today, out there in the audience. And you have to understand that we have a totally fiat money system. The Federal Reserve, the private bank created by the private bankers for private bankers to benefit private bankers, has been running our economic system for many years, going back to 1913, and they prospered greatly, and they've been able to create money out of nothing, and then, of course, use it to buy up the media and corporations, and to endow great tax-exempt foundations, to buy up the universities, to buy up the politicians. It's really wonderful when you can create money out of nothing, but eventually all fiat money systems get into trouble. And, of course, Ben Bernanke, when he was being considered for the position of chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, made the remark that certainly in regular economies, if you have a gold-backed economy, why, of course, you can get a deflation, you can get prices falling, but when you have a fiat money system, you have printing presses, and you can simply print money so you won't get deflation. And then, of course, he even made the comment that all you have to do then is just take it, that money, and throw it out of helicopters, and you flood the country with money, and everything's just fine. You keep the economy going, because the last thing you want is deflation. Well, we've already run into a recession, and what is the government doing? Why, they're printing money. They're not throwing it out of helicopters just yet. They're just going to give everybody money, about $100 billion, and then another $50 billion of write-offs and benefits to the corporate America to try to stimulate the economy by massively pumping money into the economy. The Federal Reserve has about $800 billion at its disposal to give to banks and to lend out in one way or another to try to keep the economy going. So far, they have spent $400 billion of the $800 billion that they already have on account. But what they have done, and what nobody is telling you, is that they have massively increased the money supply. There's something called the MZM, and that's the has to do with the MZM money supply. And over the last couple of months, it's been going up at about 37% a year. In other words, just for a couple of months. But it's the most rapid expansion in the money supply that I have ever seen. And, of course, really what this is a prelude to hyperinflation unless they rein this in. But they're pumping all this money out to try to solve the problem. And it's not a problem of liquidity of our financial system. It's a matter of the solvency of the financial system. Many of the largest banks in our country, many of the largest banks in the world are insolvent. One Swiss bank, the largest bank in Switzerland, the third largest bank in the year, has written off $40 billion in CDOs and other non-functioning assets that they have. $40 billion. Now, that's a lot of money, even for a large bank. And many of the banks here in the United States are writing off comparable amounts. Well, if you've got a question, give us a call. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Well, let's go to Roger calling from Allentown, Pennsylvania. Hi, Roger. How are you doing?
Yes, thanks, Dr. Stan. And as usual, you've been remiss in promoting your frequency changes.
All right, fine. Well, how are they coming in?
Well, a little ratty tonight, but it's been pretty good since you switched over to having now, I guess, on 5.875. I'm a little confused.
5.875, and then there's another one. The other one is 6.110. So there's two frequencies for this hour.
Yeah, and if you could promote your previous 3 hours ago. I have you at the second hour is 7.465.
7.465, the first hour is 5.070, and I hope you'll tell everybody about them. Thanks very much, Roger.
God bless you.
Okay, is that all? You didn't have anything to say?
No, maybe I'll call back. God bless.
All right, fine. Thanks. That's Roger, and of course, he keeps track of our shortwave, and certainly we hope that you'll tell people about our shortwave frequencies. For this hour, we actually have two shortwave frequencies in the afternoon, 3 to 5 Pacific time. 6 to 8 Eastern time. We only have one frequency on each hour. The different frequencies, you can get them off our website if you need them, and or give us a call of 1-800-544-8927 and Mary will tell you. Well, we're basically talking about what is happening to the world monetary system, which most people really don't understand. And really what's happening is that the whole world monetary system is shutting down. Despite the fact that the European Central Bank has put out almost $1 trillion, we put out well over $500 billion, probably a great deal more than that, and yet the whole system is shutting down. It's hard to borrow money, and of course everything is based upon borrowed money. Everything is based upon debt. If you look and see what's happening in Europe, you have a very hard time getting a loan. Banks don't want to lend to one another. They don't want to lend to people who want to borrow money because they're afraid they're not going to get paid back. And, of course, what's happening, of course, is the value of housing throughout the world is falling. And with that, of course, it means that a lot of people own more on the house than the house is actually worth. And this is simply not simply people who are, have subprime borrowers who never showed a house in the first place. This is people with AAA loans who, at the top of the market, bought a home. They may even put 20% down on the home, and they're able to make regular payments on their home, but they may be in an area where the home has lost a 25% or more, so that the mortgage on their home is worth more than the house is. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Certainly our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, this is Open Line Wednesday. We'd love to hear from you. We are in the opening parts of a recession. They're not telling you the truth. They're not really letting you know what is really happening. They're simply lying about the inflation figures. They're lying about the unemployment. If you look at the unemployment figures that they, of course, put out, why they suggest that in February there were 63,000 people lost their jobs, and then 80,000 lost their jobs in March. But if you look at the home analysis, and some people actually have programs where they actually call homes across the country, the real job loss was 255,000 jobs were lost in February, and over 430,000 jobs were lost in March. And we've got almost another 500,000 people who simply have given up looking for jobs. They've been looking for jobs for so long, they just don't really see how they're ever going to be able to get one. Certainly one of my favorite writers is Ambrose Evans Pritchard, and he writes for the Sunday Telegraph. We had an opportunity to interview him several times when he was in this country investigating Bill Clinton and wrote the book, The Secret Life of Bill Clinton. But Ambrose Evans Pritchard, writing in the Sunday Telegraph, said this: "We may never know for sure whether the Federal Reserve's rescue of Bernstein averted a seizure of the $516 trillion derivative system." Let me repeat that. "We may never know for sure whether the Federal Reserve rescue of Bernstein averted a seizure of the $516 trillion derivative system, the ultimate Chernobyl for global finance. If the Fed had not stepped in, we would have certainly had a pandemonium, said James Meltzer, president of the New York hedge fund, Balstrat Capital. There was a risk of a total meltdown at the beginning of last week. I don't think most people have any idea how bad this chain of reaction could have been, and I'm still not sure the Fed can maintain the solvency of the U.S. banking system. Under the rescue deal, J.P. Morgan Chase will take over Bear Stearns' $13.4 trillion contracts, lock, stock, and barrel. And since J.P. Morgan already is up to its neck in derivatives, it has $77 trillion of derivative contracts of its own. It'll now have $90 trillion on its books, a sixth of the global market. The global market is well over $500 trillion. Ladies and gentlemen, the entire budget of the United States is really only about $12 or $13 billion, and there are $516 trillion or $550 trillion in derivative contracts out there. And in a matter of months, they're going to begin coming due, and there is going to be a bloodbath, and bank after bank after bank certainly is going to go down. What people don't understand is this is hitting the whole world. The stock markets, the economies in India are faltering, and certainly their stock market in India fell 10 to 15% so far this year. The same thing has happened in China. They're certainly their budgets surplus. They were running, I think, last month, $26 billion surplus. This year, it's only about an $8 billion surplus. And China's economy is beginning to slow down because people here in the United States are not buying as much as they have in the past. Penny has reported a 10% fall in their sales for this last month, but a 26% fall in their profits. So there are real problems at every level in our country today. And, of course, if you look around the world, certainly the Malaysian stock market lost about 10% just a few days, about a week during the early part of May. The Vietnamese stock market is falling. Stock markets are falling in China. They're falling all throughout the world. We are on the edge of a worldwide financial crisis, and of course you read a little bit about it in the paper, but you don't get the sense of urgency that the people in the banking industry feel. They know this whole fiat money system could literally collapse within a matter of a relatively few months, and people have got to start protecting themselves, because there's not going to be anybody there to protect them. The interest on Treasury bills, now these are short-term Treasury bills, is down to about 3.8%, which means, of course, the value of the Treasury bills has gone up, but the interest rate that people are getting when they invest in short-term Treasury bills is about 0.38%, and of course, the 10-year Treasury bills are getting about a 3.5% interest rate on it. People are willing to do this because they want to get out of into something that's solvent, because they're afraid, of course, whether they're in the stock market or whether in commodities, in the money market funds, they're going to lose their money. And of course, if you're in Treasury bills, remember inflation is another factor that's destroying the value of your currency. Well, we've got Jim calling from Chicago, and remember our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. Jim from Chicago, how are you doing?
Pretty good, Dr. Stan.
Do you have a question or comment?
I beg your pardon?
Do you have a question or comment?
I have a comment. I was reading the paper today, and this is something that really surprised me. The IMF is selling their gold to raise money, and they're laying off staff. Now, that tells me that we're in really big trouble, and like you said before, this is a worldwide situation. Considering all throughout the Asian nations and African nations, there is a inflation which causes their food to be going up, and there's been a lot of protests about that.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. But of course, just because it says that the IMF is selling their gold to actually raise money, that doesn't necessarily mean it's true. They're selling their gold to drive down the price of gold.
Mm-hmm.
And what they really want to do, they're frightened that the gold starts going up over $1,000, $1,500, $2,000 an ounce, people will realize that the world financial system is collapsing. So the IMF is certainly selling off a great deal of their gold, but the question is, who's buying the gold? Do you have any idea?
Nobody ever
tells you who's buying the gold. Well, I believe that the international financiers are buying the gold. Their ultimate plan is a global currency, privately issued, backed by gold, which people will flock to because they want stability for their money. And before this is over, most people in this country are going to be impoverished. The inflation that is upon us is going to destroy the value of savings.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to destroy the value of insurance policies, of pensions, certainly of anything that is tied to the dollar, whether it be annuities, CDs, T-bills, are all going to be wiped out. And so basically, this is the plan. This is the ultimate plan. It's been covered in a Foreign Affairs magazine last year, a privately issued international global currency backed by gold. But it will not be backed by government. It'll be issued by private people, and they're the ones who are buying up the gold. We know Dr. Cuddy had pointed out that America had taken some of their gold and sold it in Europe some years ago, and of course, nobody ever asked who bought it. Well, the Rockefellers actually bought it, and how do we know? Because one of their employees made a public statement shortly before her mysterious death.
Wow.
So this is the way the world system works, but, you know, they may be selling gold in IMF, but who's buying it? And I suspect it's the same old crowd.
Right.
Okay, anything else, Jim?
Well, my last comment is this. Do you think the only answer as far as the problem in America as well as throughout the world is divine intervention? Do you think that's the only answer?
Well, no. I think that, first of all, we need divine intervention. I just hope God's going to intervene. But right now at the present time, why, of course, the wicked people are in control. They're planning on destroying our economic system. How can I say that? Well, because the latest issue of Emergence, which is published by the Luciferians, mm-hmm. by Benjamin Krem and Share International, says, they quote the Maitreya, the Antichrist, as saying the only thing we can do is simply destroy the economic system, and then we can begin to rebuild another system. I think that's what they're really about. So, I just hope God does intervene. I don't think he's going to intervene until things get a lot worse, though.
Right.
I hope I'm wrong.
Well, that's the thing. You have a nice evening.
God bless. And thanks so much for calling, Jim, and I hope you're going to get everybody back there in Chicago listening.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, let's go to Todd, who's calling from Plattsburgh, New York. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And Todd, how are you doing?
Good, Doctor. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, thanks.
Good. Just a really quick, Doctor. Have you ever heard of a Dr. Kent Hovind?
Yes, In fact, Kent Hovind, he used to be the counsel for the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons. In fact, we went to Disneyland in Orlando with him many years ago. He's a good man, if it's the man I'm thinking of. He's a lawyer, isn't he?
What I'm thinking about is they call him, the nickname is Dr. Dino, and he's like a...
No, that's, I don't think that's Kent Hovind. I think that's... I know who you're speaking of. But that's I'm thinking of somebody else completely. But I know the fellow you're talking. He has this this amusement park. I believe it's in Pensacola.
Right.
And he had actually, of course, talks a great deal about evolution. Gives a wonderful, wonderful talk.
Well, I'll make this quick, Doctor, is that I had maybe about 5 years ago, I picked up a few of his creationist VHS tapes, and, you know, it was very fascinating. And very, you know, very good to look at, and, you know, coming from a spiritual perspective. And I just Googled him recently, and I found out that he was in in prison on some charges that I'm not really sure.
Well, basically it was that he would not collect income tax from, withholding tax from his employees. It wasn't that he didn't pay his own taxes. It wasn't that he just said he did not feel it was his function to collect income taxes, and they made, of course, a spectacle out of them. Hang on there, and I'll tell you a little about it in just a moment or two. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Todd from Plattsburgh, New York, and actually talking about Hovind. What is his first name? Kent? Is it different?
It's Kent.
Kent. Okay, fine. Well, anyway, Kent Hovind is a really a patriotic individual who, of course, really was trying to make a statement that he didn't think the income tax was correct, but it wasn't the fact that he did not, of course, report his earnings. It wasn't he didn't pay his own tax. He just refused to pay to withhold tax from his employees, and that's they went after him. And I think they gave him 6 years in prison.
It's
all totally unjustified.
Yeah. 10 years, I believe.
Okay, fine. Well, whatever it is, I hope he gets out. I know it's on appeal. And I know that there are other parts of the country, if you'd gotten a sympathetic judge, you would have got off with a slap on the wrist.
Basically, I just wanted to just say that because, you know, I really enjoyed what I learned from him about, you know, creationist, you know, information about, you know, against evolution.
And
so I just wanted to just mention that.
His material is great. We've actually seen a lot of his DVDs and videos and... you know, he's doing a fine job. We actually had his son on after he went to prison just talking about this whole idea of evolution and creation. And, of course, this whole idea of evolution is designed to destroy our belief in God.
Absolutely. And I just wanted to throw in real quick that, you know, when I watched some of the debates he had with the evolutionists, I mean, unless you're really brain dead, I mean, it's hard to really... just to see the fervor with which they kind of talk in circles against the ideas that are, you know, some of the ideas, which, well, I'm not a science person, but, you know, that he's brought forth. And I just really thought that it was interesting, all the negative on Google and stuff, negative things against him, and very, very, you know, mean stuff talking about him because, you know, he speaks, you know, the Christian perspective. That's all I wanted to say.
All right, fine. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Appreciate your call. And let's go to Jane calling from West Sacramento. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. And Jane, how are you doing?
Good. Well, thank God for Internet. You don't have to pull the switching of the frequencies. Well, I was just wondering if you or perhaps anyone in the audience, Pakistan, have seen pictures of these purported tent camps. You know you're not going to hear about them on ABC, but I happened to hear a BBC clip that Pastor Butch Ball played on his show. He had gotten a BBC clip that was actually interviewing some people who were living in one of these such camps.
Now, where are these camps supposed to be?
You know, the reporter didn't mention where they were, or that part of the clip wasn't captured. But I hear that one of the real hot spots is L.A.
Well, I really don't know. First of all, you're going to have to be very, very careful when we put the information out. I have no question that there are detention camps. We have
not detention camps, but these tent camps that people are living in now of losing their home.
Okay. No, I've heard of it.
Have there been pictures? Has anyone snuck any pictures out?
I've heard about this, but I really can't comment. Yes, I've actually heard that they're actually setting up camps for people who have been forced out of their homes. Hang on just a minute. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest right now is Jane calling from West Sacramento. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And certainly Jane's calling asking about the tent camps. And she's talking about these tent camps that are being set up adjacent to major metropolitan areas where people can go if they've lost their homes. And she said that she'd seen a clip from a BBC. Was that a BBC television program?
I don't know if it was television or radio. I just happened to hear, in fact, it was the only official real news report. And I don't know if it was TV or radio, but I guess on Dr. Butcher's show he had.
Well, we'll have to look it up on the internet. Right now, I'll have to admit I really don't know much about them. I've heard some of rumbles, but we'll look it up. Try to have something next week for you.
It'd be interesting to see how widespread the problem really is that they're not reporting.
Well, I think that there are over a quarter of a million people have already lost their homes. There's another 600,000 who are on the verge of losing their homes, and I think before this is all over, probably at least 2 million Americans are going to be forced out of their homes. And because a lot of them may not have sufficient money to rent a home in an expensive area, they'll have to move to a less expensive area. This is one of the greatest tragedies of modern times. But, of course, this is all planned. This didn't happen by accident. It happened by intent, in my estimation, and in the estimation of other people whose opinion I really value. Did you hear our interview the other day with Dr. Jerome Corsi? It was an afternoon interview. Excellent. In fact, it's going to be a tape of the month for people who belong to the tape of the month. And, of course, Dr. Corsi's got his Ph.D. in political science with a minor in economics from Harvard, and he spent over 25 years working in international finance before he became a syndicated columnist for World Net Daily. But it is his belief, and I think he's absolutely right, that this whole thing is precipitated to destroy our currency, to destroy our economy. And it's precipitated by the people who hate America, who want to impoverish our people, who want to redistribute our wealth. And before this is over, I think an awful lot of people are going to be impoverished. Anything else you want to say, Jane?
Well, other than, you know, what can we as Christians do? I mean, honestly, our fellow believers are frankly asleep. I've said that before. And, you know, where everybody's talking about building new buildings, I'm thinking, geez, what an opportunity to spread the gospel.
I think you're absolutely right, Jane.
We're thinking about, expanding to God knows what.
Well, I think, of course, every cloud has a silver lining. And I honestly believe that there's going to be a wonderful time to testify to people and explain to them what's going on from a spiritual point of view before this is over. As long as times are good, as long as people are affluent, they feel they don't need God. It's only when a crisis comes in their life that their attitude changes. And I know practicing medicine here in Santa Cruz, there were many of our doctors. I mean, they were wonderful people, but they were happy, they were prosperous, and then perhaps their wife would divorce them. Perhaps they'd lose their son. This happened to one of my friends, and it was only out of that time of crisis that they would actually begin searching for the Lord, and they became evangelical Christians. So there may be a good side to the terrible things that are going to lie ahead, okay?
All right.
Okay,
if anyone sees any pictures, let us know.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll just see if we can come up with anything in the meantime. Thanks for calling, and thanks for bringing it up, Jane. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Let's go to Heather, who's calling from Santa Cruz. And again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. Hi, Heather.
Hi. I had a question. I was wondering what advice you would give regarding a savings account. What should we do with that?
Well, first of all, you want to make sure that your bank is solvent.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, of course, that you have an FDIC insurance policy up to $100,000.
Okay.
The problem is, when will they pay you? You know, and of course, when the banks go down, FDIC doesn't have the money, they may pay you 5 or 10 years from now. So you have no guarantee. So certainly you want to diversify. You don't want to have all your money in one account. I mean, I think that you ought to be in, have some money. You have to have some money to be able to live on. There's nothing wrong with having some money in the bank, but you ought to think about investing in gold and silver, and they're down right now. They're probably a pretty good investment. If you don't want to do that, you can go into T-bills, but they're not really providing you with much of an income. As I said, the short-term T-bills were somewhere between 0.38 and 0.6%. That's for two-year T-bills. So I think that you really want to start thinking about something that's going to protect you from inflation. That's why I think gold and silver are a great investment. We'll be back in just a moment here.
Great. Thank you very much.
this is Dr. Stan. And Heather, are you, Heather, are you still there?
I am still here.
Oh, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
No, I was really just curious as to how we can invest.
I think that I personally believe that gold and silver are an excellent investment right now. Silver is certainly, it was well over $20 an ounce, went down to a little over $16 an ounce. I think it closed at 18.15 today. But there is really a shortage of silver from everything we can find out. And so I think it's just on the edge of taking off through the roof. Now, remember, I'm not a financial advisor. I'm just a retired orthopedic surgeon with a lot of strong views. But I think that we're in real trouble financially. And inflation is the one thing people don't understand. Mm-hmm. There's no better way to destroy a nation than to debauch the currency, and not one person in a million will know what you're doing. So said Lenin, and I think he was absolutely right. So you need to get into something that's going to maintain its value as the inflation ravages our country. I gave those figures a little earlier. Money supply figures, and really they're really frightening, and of course they were showing, I think, 35 or 37% increase here from January to March 24th. That's called the MZM money supply, and it was 37% during that three-month period. I mean, that is, if that were to keep up for a year, wouldn't it? A year you'd lose a third of the value, over a third of the value of everything denominated in dollars. And look and see with the fine program that we introduced into Zimbabwe, where inflation's running 100,000% a year. There's no better way to impoverish the people. And so that's why you need to be in something that's going to go up in value. And, of course, certainly dollars are not going to go up in value. They're only going to fall. And one reason, of course, we have rising oil prices is because we have a falling dollar. Mm-hmm. And people don't want the dollar anymore. And people are beginning to repudiate the dollar throughout the world. And so you have enough dollars to last you temporarily, but put the rest of this into something solvent, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. God bless. And let's go to Gary, who's calling from Union Gap. Is that Union Gap, Washington?
Yes, it is.
Okay, fine. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And do you have a question or comment there, Gary?
Well, first let me say, Dr. Stan, I do appreciate your program. Like I said before, I've been on your program before. You're my favorite talk show host, and I tell lots of people about you, and I just encourage everybody to listen to you. But my question is, if the financial
Hold on, we're going to bring our stations on board, and then you can ask the question. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Open Line Wednesday. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. And Gary's calling us from Union Gap, Washington. Go ahead, Gary. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but the computer doesn't give me any choice. You go right ahead.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. Again, appreciate your program and all the fine materials that you offer. My question is, if the financial system is going to very possibly could go down in the next few months, that could be as close as July, and my question is, what about people who just pay their, get paid, put their money in the bank, and then they pay all their bills with checks? If it went down after they put their money in the bank before their checks got delivered, it's possible that none of those checks could be honored. Isn't that true?
All sorts of incredible things can happen. I was reading in the Wall Street Journal about a woman who deposited $3 million with one of the largest banks in the world, the third largest bank in the world. And they invested her money in some auction bonds. And, of course, they'd been giving a real good interest, a real good return. But, of course, her whole account, her whole $3 million was invested in these auction bonds. And suddenly they couldn't buy or sell them. They've got these $3 million, and then they've lost about 10% of value. So now she's got $2,700,000, but she can't get any money out. So the bank is going to lend her money using her own money as security at a high interest rate, so she'll have some money to live on. We can get into all sorts of problems, and our bank can simply close down. And believe me, if you have insurance through the Federal Deposit Insurance Company, FDIC, they will probably pay your money back, you know, up to $100,000, but there's no place there they tell you when they're going to pay your money back. So you've got to get yourself into a defensive position. And whether it's going to happen in a few months, whether it's going to happen in a year or two, I don't know. But I'm very, very concerned about the stability of the world financial system, because there is no instance in all history where, of course, a fiat money system has long endured. And I don't think ours is going to endure much longer. And of course,
I guess my question is, should a person go ahead and cash their checks and pay all their bills with money orders so that they don't get caught in the middle?
Well, you know, I wouldn't be that concerned about it. I'd just get those checks mailed off. But if things start looking shaky at all, you might. But right now, I'd just go continue exactly as you are. But keep watching very closely, because something could happen very, very quickly.
Well, how about the difference between a local bank and a national bank like Bank America? Is one bank, like a national bank, maybe a little bit more safer than a local bank?
I think you might be better off with a local bank, although you want to check it out. There's a fellow named Marty Weiss, and he will tell you whether your local bank is solvent or not. Bank of America has got real problems. They've had to write off many billions of dollars because of their CDO exposures, and we have no idea whether they're into derivatives or not, but most of the major banks were. And so certainly my suggestion to you would be to check with Marty Weiss, W-E-I-S-S, and he might charge you $10 or $20 to tell you whether your bank's solvent, but this would be a good thing for you to know.
How do we get a hold of this man?
You look him up on the Internet under Marty Weiss, Dr. Martin Weiss.
W-E-I-S-S,
and he actually grades the banks all across America. And he probably would ask you for something in return for his knowledge, but it would probably be well worth it if you got much money in the bank.
Well, I don't have a lot, but we could try it. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Okay, God bless, and anything else?
No, that'll do it, Dr. Tan. Appreciate your program.
All right, thanks very much. Appreciate, and let's go to Robert calling from Pittsburgh, California. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. Hi, Robert. How are you doing tonight?
Pretty good, Dan. Yourself?
No complaints at all. Doesn't do any good to complain that somebody else always has a worse story.
Well, the problem is nobody will listen.
Right. So what can we do for you tonight?
I was listening the other night to that program you had about George Washington.
Right. Did you like that program?
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was really great.
I did too.
Really, really great. Well, you know, the thing of it is I had a couple books put away that I haven't read yet about the Revolutionary War. It was written by Christopher Ward back in 1941, I guess. But he's got a chapter in the beginning about the cause of the war. It's only 14 pages, but there was really a lot of information in them 14 pages. And I'd like to read you just a couple sentences out of that chapter, if I could.
All right, you go. You got two sentences. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a double book. But this is before the war. This is during the T-Pact. And it says that the king was firm in his demand there must always be one tax to keep up the right to tax. Did you get that?
Right. There must be always be two castes of people. Is that what they're talking about? C-A-S-T-E?
No, tax.
Oh, taxes. Okay.
T-A-S.
Okay, go ahead.
He said there must always be one tax to keep up the right to tax.
All right. Well, of course, this was something that the colonists were very, very concerned about.
Right.
That was taxation. But the other thing was that they were forced to buy goods from England. They could not buy things from other countries that were cheaper. And so,
right.
Of course, they felt this was really grossly unfair. And there was taxation without representation because they had no representatives in the parliament. So this was the basis of their ideas. But you have to understand, there's a wonderful book. It's called Fire in the Minds of Men. It's written by James H. Billington, who is the Librarian of Congress. And there was a tremendous revolutionary ferment all throughout the world at that time, having coming out of Illuminism and other sources. And basically the modern-day manifestations of the beliefs of the ancient mystery religions, that we were going to have a world revolution, we were going to bring about a revolutionary world, a new world order, a new world religion, and, of course, a new world leader. And that was really part of this revolutionary ferment that started with the American Revolution and then was followed by the French Revolution and the Italian Revolution and then the German Revolution, and then of course carried over into the time of the First World War with the revolution in Russia and in Turkey and in Germany and in Austria-Hungary. Revolutions all throughout the world, and of course we are still having revolutionary movements, but they're all traced back to American Revolution, right, historically. So, anything else?
Have you ever read Romans chapter 10, verse 9?
Well, I have, but I don't recall what it is.
It says that if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppress you, then you shall blow an alarm with trumpets, and you shall be remembered before the Lord your God.
All right. Well, thanks very much, and I certainly appreciate so much your calling.
Thank you.
Good night. And let's go to, let's see, this is Joe calling from Michigan. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 in the Central Coast of California. Hi, Joe. Are you there somewhere around Flint listening to us?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. That's we have certainly one of our major stations this time of night is in Flint, Michigan, and that gets up in Detroit. It's pretty good signal there, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah, I live way out in Fowlerville, and I'm probably over an hour away from Flint.
I think we're very, very fortunate to be on that network this time of evening, and I'm glad you're listening. It's 11 o'clock back there, but anyway, what can we do for you? Do you have a question or comment?
I have a question, and then if there's time, I'd have a quick comment as well. The question is, I'd like to hear how you would explain to the average person who knows not what's going on, you know, in terms of the things that you talk about, how you would explain in an understandable, economical fashion who the Council on Foreign Relations is and how they are this true shadow government, the group that controls our government and our country.
Well, I would start in asking the people if they've ever heard of the Council on Foreign Relations. Do you know that literally every Secretary of State, going back to the time of the Second World War, or at least at the time of Cordell Hull, every director of the CIA and every chairman of the Federal Reserve Board has come from the membership roles of the Council on Foreign Relations? Were you aware of that fact? Of course, they're going to say, well, no, I didn't. What's the Council on Foreign Relations? And then you tell them that it is the organization that controls both political parties. That's why the Secretary of State always comes from there. And they are a front group for a secret society that was created by Cecil Rhodes back in 1891. Now, if you tell them that if you'd like to verify that, there's a book written by Bill Clinton's mentor, suppressed really for many years because somebody bought the publisher and then destroyed the place to the first half of the book. And then, of course, in this book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time by Professor Quigley, and remember that book was suppressed. When you talk about that, that gets their interest. Why? He tells you how the Council on Foreign Relations is simply a front for a secret society known as the Round Table, which was a front for the other secret society, and of course, for the Morgan interest, and that's on pages 951, 952. You might even want to get those pages. Of course, we have the interview with Professor Quigley where he tells how his own publisher suppressed his book. That's the in the Secret Government 4-tape set. But tell the people, well, if you don't believe that this organization exists, why don't you write to them? Write to them. Their address is 58 East 68th Street, New York City, New York, and ask for their annual report. And look, and you'll see who the people are there. There's John McCain, the member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Then you'll find, of course, that Bill Clinton is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. His wife is running. Obama is not a member, but the man who, of course, is his foreign policy advisor, Zbigniew Brzezinski, is a member. Doesn't that bother you that a small group of people have that much control over our government? And this would be, ask as many questions as you can before you try to lecture them. Just try to get them thinking. And the big problem is, how do you get people to think? How do you get them to realize, of course, that we are not a democracy? They've lied to us about a democracy.
Yeah, and
if you haven't read my little pamphlet, it's quite inexpensive, called We Are a Republic. It will give you all of the arguments that you need. And if you can convince them of one thing, that they've been lied to throughout their whole lives about the fact we're a democracy, because, of course, democracies always end up in dictatorships. And, of course, even this is what James Madison said, you know, democracies are spectacles of turmoil and contention, are air incompatible with personal security and the rights of private property, and, of course, are as short in their lives as they are violent in their deaths. That comes from the 10th of the Federalist Papers. Yeah. If you can get a copy of the Federalist Papers, just show them a point 10 and say, you know, why don't they teach this in school? Well, because the schools are controlled. Everything is controlled. They control the reality of most people. I hope they don't control your reality as well.
Right. I think a really simple way to talk about democracy and republics is to just simply say that a democracy is a government from an elite group down to the people, whereas a republic is a government from the people up.
Well, really,
a government of, by, and for the people. They're the exact opposite.
But, of course, really, a republic is a government of laws. It's not from the people up. It's fixed. It is unchanging. And, of course, if it was up to the people, they'd vote for democracy. People will always vote for the people who promise them to give them the most. We're out of time, but of course, I think one of the best definitions is, you know, democracy is two wolves negotiating with a sheep on what they're going to have for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And in a republic, of course, why it's illegal to eat sheep. Anyway, we've got to go. Right. God bless. Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you.
And let's go to Joan, who's patiently waiting there in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
Yes.
Hi, Joan. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I have a question. If one is able to pay the mortgage off on their home now, would that be better than, or do you wait to pay with the cheap dollars? I don't know what would be the better thing to do.
Well, the one thing is you'd like to be out of debt as much as you can. Now,
yeah.
If you were in a position, of course, we could take those dollars that you have, obviously you have something there, and perhaps invest in silver and gold, but you know, the first thing I think you want to do is be out of debt, so you got a roof over your head, and then if there's anything left over, I'd invest in silver and gold, but get out of debt.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Go right ahead.
I'm not in that position. This is for my child.
Right.
Yeah. Her position.
All right, but if they can get out of debt, certainly you don't want to be in debt in times like this.
Better not to have any mortgage at all.
Better not to have any mortgage at all. That way you're going to at least be able to maintain your house.
Okay.
And I think an awful lot of people are going to lose their homes before this is over. And a lot of people may have a good, secure job now, but you never know what's going to happen. A lot of people, you know, working for government, working for the state, municipalities, they're beginning to lay people off because they don't have the money coming in from the taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Major corporations are laying people off. Those figures we used earlier, something like 460,000 jobs lost last month. They're simply lying when they tell us it was only 80,000.
Oh, I know.
And they're lying about the rate of inflation as well.
Right. I know that. Do you suggest that, do you think that they're doing damage to the airlines purposely? I thought you said that the other night.
I think that they're creating this whole issue with airlines because they want to get us to stop flying airlines. We're polluting the skies when we do that. And so why all of a sudden, you know, never before have we seen all these, you know, planes being grounded.
Right.
Before have we had all these reports that we're getting now about terrible service? And I do a lot of flighting. I think most of the service is really pretty good.
Right.
And I believe that the airlines and these planes are safe, and yet the grounding of 30 or 40 planes just to check some sort of a fire extinguisher. Why all of a sudden? Because I think they want to get new laws. And I think those new laws are going to make it extremely difficult for the airlines.
Okay.
And what they really want to do is get us out of the airlines. They want to get us out of cars.
Mm-hmm.
They want to force us to be riding bicycles. And you say that's crazy talk, but we're not dealing with rational people.
No, they're
insane. We're
dealing
with people who have a different worldview. And anybody who wants to read the Global Biodiversity Assessment, which is their plan, in part drawn up by Al Gore, you'll find it's fascinating reading. And you'll find out they really want, of course, to do away with highways. They want us to cut back on electricity. They don't want us to burn wood or coal in our fireplaces to keep warm in the winter, or use electricity in the summer for air conditioning. They want to control everything. And so we've really got problems, but I think you're absolutely right. This whole thing with the airlines is obviously a scam. This is my impression.
That's what I thought, and I just don't know. They're discouraging people from flying because they're waiting and waiting, and they can't get in, you know, go to where their destiny is.
No, basically, I was reading an article, I think it was in the New American, about a couple of professors over in Australia, and they were saying people should not be allowed to take a trip every year by the airline. Maybe once a year. Once a lifetime. And the rest of the time, you just stay where you are so that you're not, you know, of course, contaminating the atmosphere with...
Al Gore's propaganda.
Al Gore and George Bush will be allowed to fly, but the rest of us, no.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going...
Thank you.
God bless.
Thank you, God bless you. Bye.
Okay, fine. Well, let's go to Tom, who's calling here from Royal City, Washington, but he grew up in Chicago, and we're going to be back in just a moment. Again, we probably have time for one more call. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 right here at Radio Liberty. Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I was prompted to call in when I heard the other gentleman ask a question about how to talk to another person that's not woken up to the issues of society, and I've been on both sides of the fence. Can you hear me okay? Am I breaking up?
You're coming through just fine.
Okay, and what I wanted to say is I grew up and working in a back alley body shop and earning a living in the streets of Chicago, and interestingly enough, my best friend's father owned a restaurant, and so I got to meet some pretty interesting people, some powerful people, police, mobsters, and drug dealers, and also city officials, and I got to see corruption and malfeasance on a local level, and to a lesser degree was partaker as well. And you know, and I have a family that's steeped in Masonry and Catholicism, and some in witchcraft, and and all those issues that I faced as a youth. The only way out is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All these
to
things that you talk about may ring my bell, and I've been a researcher since I got saved in 1992. And I just wanted to let the folks know out there that the only way to wake people up to any of these issues has to start with the foundation of the Lord. And that's really what I wanted to say.
All right, fine. I think you're absolutely right. And I think, of course, it is a spiritual battle behind the Council on Foreign Relations, behind the Masons, even behind the upper echelons of the Catholic Church. There are satanic forces and satanic organizations. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody within any of these organizations is part of it, but there's certainly the satanic forces are working, but not just in the Catholic Church. They're working within the Jewish religion. They're working within the Protestant religion. And we have to understand that we are involved in a spiritual battle, as we've said so many times. And I'm glad, of course, that you got yourself straightened out, and, of course, we're all going to have to rely on the Lord in the months and years that lie ahead. Anything else, Tom?
Well, I just wanted to say thanks to a man named Matt in 1992 that knocked on my door with a Bible and showed me how I could get born again.
All right, fine. Well, I think that what we need to do is reach as many people as we possibly can with an understanding of what's really going on today and this spiritual battle that we're involved in. Okay, Tom, well, thank you very much for calling, and I hope that you get everybody up there in Royal City listening.
Yes, sir. Thanks so much for your show.
Good night. God bless. All right, fine. That was Chris Tom calling from Royal City, Washington. Unfortunately, we have a great listening audience all through that area. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I hope you enjoy our Open Line Wednesday. I always enjoy it. And, of course, I hope that many of you out there give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because this is how we're able to do what we do 5 hours a day, and then, of course, our weekend program as well. And certainly we have almost 60 outlets every week. That's shortwave, that's internet, that is certainly satellite, that's radio stations, and we are on, I think, about 11 stations this evening, actually, with the shortwave. We're on 12 stations plus internet. What a unique opportunity to reach people across the country. So if you'd like to become part of our team and help us, and with the realization that we are not tax-exempt, We are not a 501c3 organization because we want to be able to tell you the truth. Or give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, and we'd love to hear from you. And, of course, you can join the Radio Liberty family, get our four best tapes of the month, or get our monthly newsletter. Just get the monthly newsletter, whatever you feel that you can do. But then, of course, we hope that you'll go to our website at RadioLiberty.com and begin to learn about what we have to offer. We have a lot of free DVDs up there. You can listen to our programs there. Live 4 hours a day, archive programs, MP3. You can listen to our feed to the satellite 9 hours a day. If you'd like to know more about that satellite, doesn't cost you anything once you've got it, and it's inexpensive to get. And of course, you'll get excellent programming there, certainly on with Joyce Riley, Chuck Chrismeyer, Butch Paul. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you will want to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which is a primer on what's really going on in the world today. And if you want to get somebody to start to understand the spiritual forces at work, Brotherhood of Darkness, either the CD or the book, is an excellent place to start. And then, of course, we hope that you'll want to get my talk on the Forbidden Secret. That's the Forbidden Secret, because it will open your eyes to really what's going on. And, of course, the spiritual forces that are out there that many people are tapping into and have accumulated great wealth and power. But, of course, they eventually will pay a terrible price. If you have not yet seen the DVDs or videos, they sold their souls for rock and roll. It comes in a 3-hour, a 4-hour, or a 10-hour version. But, of course, there really are people within the music industry, some of the largest entertainers we have, who've made a pact with the devil, and that is why they're doing well. That's why they're so very, very prosperous. But, of course, they will pay with their eternal souls. People don't understand that this is not imaginary. It's very real. You need to get the 4-tape or 4-CD set, The Secret Behind the Secret, and we're addressing Rhonda Byrne's book and her DVD that has sold millions of copies. Oprah Winfrey is doing everything she can to recruit people into this movement and putting this onto a television program, putting this onto a radio program, and introducing people to this alternative religion that, of course, worships another god. And, of course, as we hope many of you will want to get our 4-tape set or CD set on satanic crimes, our book on satanic crimes, our book on Diaries of a Devil Hunter. Certainly, we have so much material up on our website that will help you to understand what is really going on in the world today. The assassination of President Kennedy. You can listen to my interview with Lyndon Johnson's mistress, who tells about the party the evening before the assassination and who was attending it as they were plotting the murder of a president of the United States. And certainly we have we've got a great new book on the murder of Martin Luther King. He was actually killed as part of a government operation because, of course, he was opposing the Vietnam War. The book is An Act of State, written by William Pepper, who actually, of course, was the lawyer, represented the King family at the trial of Lloyd Jowers, who was part of the conspiracy. There was a 30-day trial with over 70 witnesses, and hardly a word of this in the major media. The last thing they want the American people to know is that our government, CIA involved, the military involved, in the murder of Martin Luther King. The book, An Act of State, our number 1-800-544-8927. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Arthur Burnclow, who is with Veterans for Constitutional Law. And, of course, Arthur is as an advocate for our veterans. He's a veteran himself, and he's trying to make sure that they're not taken advantage of by a system that is desired to cheat our men who fought for our country out of the benefits that they're entitled to. Now, you have to understand that Sydney, of the men who came home from the first Gulf War, and many of them had this Gulf War illness, and the government, of course, has denied it exists, but, you know, hundreds of thousands of veterans of the first Gulf War are totally or partially disabled because of that. And we have the figures from the Veterans Administration that of the 695,000 men and women who went over there, they're still living take about 80,000 away from that. Almost 80,000 people have died, or at least no longer living, from the first Gulf War. That was just 18, 17 years ago. These were young, healthy people. How could almost 10% of them be dead already? And yet, if you doubt those figures, we'll be glad to send them to you. They come from the Veterans Administration website. And if that's really true, why doesn't Rush Limbaugh tell you that? Of the young men coming home from our current war, within 3 months of their returning home, almost 30% of them are ill, and of course the number keeps increasing. Are they experimenting, our young men, as they have in the past, with new vaccines or other macabre things? And of course, if you don't believe the experiment on our servicemen, you need to get the Rockefeller Committee report. Came out of the Veterans Administration in 1994. We have it. Are they experimenting on them with terrible things like they've done with the public, and most people don't even know that they've used us as guinea pigs? Or simply, is this depleted uranium? Is it related to some other thing? But anyway, let's get Arthur Burnclow on here and get his views. Arthur, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Yes, good evening, Dr. Stan. Always a pleasure to work with you.
All right, fine. Well, what are we going to talk about tonight?
Well, we're going to talk about several things here. The Veterans Administration, for one. But before we get into the Veterans Administration, I have the philosophy of a Professor Michael David Green over at Hofstra Law School, and he's written something, given me permission to use it, and it's, for want of a better name, I would call it the Dumbing of America. And it's something Dr. Green has talked about previously a long, long time, and he is a professor of political science at Hofstra, and he's very delighted to receive listeners' reactions to his article. I'll give his webpage if anyone wants to reach him.
All right, fine. Well, what is he? What's he talking about?
He's talking about the attitude here in America. And things are getting worse, and not better.
You're absolutely right. Things are getting worse in every respect, financially, morally, educationally. But you go right ahead.
Well, whether or not it's one man, the president, or it's the entire country, if the good people of America do not rise up and demand that the nonsense stop now, it will end up as the end of America.
Yeah, agree with that? Hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment with Arthur Burnclow right here at Radio Liberty. All right, Arthur, go right ahead.
Okay. We're hoping it's not too late already, but the signs are very bad. And he entitles this, "How Lethally Stupid Can One Country Be?" And presidents and prime ministers, they'll lie their countries into war, Dr. Stan, but why do we the people keep buying it? Now, watching George W. Bush in operation the last few weeks is like having, an out-of-body experience on acid during a nightmare in a different galaxy. And as Mr. Bush presides over the latest disaster of his administration, no, it's not a terrorist attack. That was back in 2001. And it's not a catastrophic war. That was 2003. And it's not a drowning city. That was 2005, Katrina. And this one is an economic meltdown, which I'm sure you're familiar with, Dr. Stan. I followed your columns that you sent me here very, very avidly. It's an economic meltdown, ladies and gentlemen, bringing it to the same live disengagement with which he's attended the previous ones. Now, you cannot but stop and gaze in stark comedic awe, realizing that the most powerful policy that ever existed on the planet, twice picked what Dr. Green calls, and I agree with him, this imbecilic buffoon as its leader from among 300 million other choices. Now, seeing Mr. Bush clown with the Washington Press Corps yet once again, and seeing them fawn over him and laughing at all the right places, and giving him a standing ovation also yet once again, now this is the equivalent of having all your logic circuits blown out simultaneously. And it's true, the universe has a twisted and deeply ironic sense of humor. Monty Python is about as funny and as stiff as Dick Nixon by comparison. And it's simply incomprehensible. It's not so astonishing, of course, that a country could have a bad leader whose aims are nefarious on the occasions when they're competent enough to rise to that level of intentionality. Plenty of countries have managed that feat, especially when, as was the case with Bush, every sort of scam is employed to steal power, and pure corruption and intimidation is used to keep it.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Arthur's reading an article. How much longer is the article?
It's not a long article.
All right, fine. This certainly is somebody who doesn't like George Bush, and certainly much of the criticism is justified. Go ahead, finish the article up, please.
Okay, now, plenty of countries have managed that feat, especially when, as the case with Bush, every sort of scam is employed to steal power, and then pure corruption and intimidation has been used to keep it. And history is quite littered with bimbos and petty criminals of this caliber. What's harder to explain is how the citizens of a country of such remarkable achievements in other domains and with the capacity to choose has allowed this to happen and then stand by silently watching for 8 years as the tragedy unfolds before their eyes. But, well, let's give credit where credit's due. This is precisely by design. This is exactly the outcome intended by the greatest propaganda promulgating regime ever since Hermann Goering set fire to the Reichstag. And it was Goering himself who famously reminded us that naturally the common people don't want war, neither in Russia, nor in England, nor in America, nor in Germany. Now that's understood, but after all, it's the leaders of the country who determine policy, and it's always a simple matter to drag the people along, whether it's a democracy or a fascist dictatorship or a parliament or a communist dictatorship. Now, voice or no voice, the people can always be brought to the bidding of the leaders. Now, that's easy. All you have to do is tell them they're being attacked, denounce the pacifists for lack of patriotism, and exposing the country to danger. And it works the same way in any country, and it sure worked in Germany. And it's worked even better here because these guys were so absolutely careful to avoid exposing the course of their war to those who would demand its end. For example, by some counts, There are more mercenaries now in Iraq at extremely high cost than there are U.S. military personnel. And that is a shocking statistic. People are not aware of this. And, you know, perhaps, you know, Americans and American democracy are no wiser or better than any other people or political system. Even today, after the worst century of warfare in human history and after the mirror image experience of Vietnam, maybe the experience of Iraq hasn't even changed them, and they'll once again follow like lemmings when led to war by pathetic creatures such as George W. Bush 50 years from now, or 5 years from now, or even 5 months from now, as Dick Cheney tees up a confrontation with Iran in order to keep Democrats out of the White House and himself out of jail. Now, Dr. Stan, we still have 3 nuclear carriers in the Gulf.
Yes, I think actually we're moving in more and more in the way of nuclear strike forces there, and I'm sure you're concerned, but you have to understand that the Democrats bear the responsibility. They're the majority. They've refused, of course, to cut off funds for the war.
Yeah.
Most of the Democratic senators, along with the Republican senators, are invested in the war industry. They put their
money
into stocks having to do with the war industry, and they're making money right and left.
Yeah, I think everybody's concerned. Democrat or Republican, they're the same. It's actually the same.
When we have, and this has come out recently, many of our senators and many of our congressmen have invested their money in war stocks, so they certainly would not want the war to end. That would cut off their fabulous profits they're making.
That's right.
And we have corrupt people in both political parties because we have corrupt people at every level of our government, and we have no leadership in our societies, whether it be in our religious organizations, in our conservative organizations, in our political parties. Everybody wants to go along and get along, because if you stand up and speak out against what's going on, you're immediately attacked as a reactionary or a coward or unpatriotic. And yet, of course, it is not patriotism to support a no-win war. It is not support of our troops to support a no-win war, and we are not trying to win in Iraq. You could not fight there the length of time we've been there and have done as poor a job as we have unintentionally. And when you understand, of course, the military is doing the best thing that they possibly can, but they've been betrayed by the leaders. And I'm specifically speaking of Paul Bremer, who, when he came to power there, he was the presidential envoy, arrived 1st of May 2003, just 2 months after the war we attacked, and he dissolved the Iraqi army, the Iraqi police force, the Iraqi civil service, closed down the factories and left hundreds of thousands of people without jobs, closed many of the hospitals and schools under the guise that there might be somebody there who supported Saddam Hussein, and of course created the chaos, of course, which has brought us to where we are today. We are not trying to win the war. Our military is fighting bravely and, of course, being thwarted at every turn. Go ahead, Martha.
Okay, I've been asked to say a prayer for these people overseas, a short one. It's passed on by a friend I've known since 1965. He's now a Master Chief Petty Officer, and his father was a mentor of a lot of friends of mine at the U.S. Naval Station, Roosevelt Roads, Puerto Rico. And we have a long list of good friends, my wife and I, whose husbands are deploying to Iraq next month. And one of the wives sent me this, and we feel compelled to send it on, and your prayers are really deeply appreciated. These guys, they deserve our love, our hugs, and most powerfully our prayers. And we say to them, the task ahead of you is never as great as the power behind you, and be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Now, I understand that life in Iraq is very difficult to bear right now, and our troops need our prayers for strength, for endurance, and for safety. And we say, Lord, hold our troops in your loving hands. Protect them as they protect us. Bless them and their families in the selfless acts they perform for us in our time of need. Amen. And Well, if anyone who hears this, just stop for a moment and say a prayer for our troops all around the world.
But of course, the thing is, we should be pulling those troops home from around the world.
Absolutely.
Why do we have troops all over the world? Why do we have troops in Europe 60 years after the Second World War ended?
There's no need for them.
In Japan 60 years after the Second World War ended. What the American people have never been told, and none of our leaders want to tell us, is that we have an empire, and that empire is being used to consolidate the world and bring it about a one-world government. And simply, our troops are simply being sent overseas to fight as a great diversion, and as we fight for freedom overseas,
yep,
we're losing our freedom here at home. And when are the American people going to stand up and say, no more, we're not going to put up with it? But go right ahead.
Now, we have news that came out this week. I don't know if you have heard about this, but the Veterans Affairs, the VA employees, last year, and this is from the Associated Press, they've racked up hundreds of thousands of dollars in government credit card bills at casino and luxury hotels, movie theaters, and high-end retailers such as Sharper Image and Franklin Covey. And government auditors are now investigating, citing past spending abuses. Now, all told, the VA staff, that's the central staff, central office, has charged $2.6 billion to their government credit cards.
Now, is that $2.6 billion?
Billion dollars to their government credit cards. And the Associated Press, through a Freedom of Information request, obtained the VA list of 3.1 million purchases made in the 2007 budget year. And the list offers a detailed look into the everyday spending of the government's second largest department, the VA. And by and large, it reveals few outward signs of questionable spending, with hundreds of purchases at prosthetic, orthopedic, and other medical supply stores. But there are multiple charges that have really caught the eye of government investigators. Now, at least 13 purchases totaling $8,471 were charged at Sharper Image, a specialty store featuring high-tech electronics and gizmos such as robotic barking dogs. In addition, 19 charges worth approximately $2,000 were made at Franklin Covey, which sells leather totes and planners geared toward corporate executives. Now, government reports in 2004 said these two companies, by virtue of the types of products they market, would more likely be selling unauthorized or personal use items to federal employees. Now, many of the 14,000 VA employees with credit cards who work at headquarters in Washington, we're talking about the central office there, and medical centers around the nation, also spent tens of thousands of dollars at Wyndham hotels in places such as San Diego, Orlando, Florida, and on the riverfront in Little Rock, Arkansas. One-time charges range up to $8,000. That's a one-time charge. Or on at least six occasions, employees based at VA headquarters made credit card charges at Las Vegas casino hotels totaling $26,198.
But you see, when you give them that Visa card, why should you be surprised that they would use it for their own aggrandizement? Government employees have been doing this for years.
Exactly.
And of course, the thing is, you should never give them a credit card because men cannot be trusted. And of course, it was once said, you know, if men were angels, we wouldn't need a government at all. But men are not angels. They're inherently corrupt. This has happened not only to the VA, it's happened with lots of branches of government. And what happens is they track down all the excess spending, they slap them on the wrist, and then they promote them and give them more money. But ladies and gentlemen, government by its very nature is corrupt. Okay, right ahead, Arthur.
All right. On at least six occasions, employees based at VA headquarters made credit card charges at the Las Vegas casino. Now, the VA spokesman, Matt Smith, the department, he said the department was reviewing these and other purchases as part of its routine oversight of employee spending. He noted that many of the purchases at Sharper Image and other stores included clocks for low-vision veterans, humidifiers, air purifiers, alarm devices, and basic planner products. Smith said all the casino hotel expenditures in 2007 were for conferences and related expenses. He said the spending was justified because Las Vegas is a place where the VA is building a new medical center and an increasing number of veterans are calling home. And an increasing number of VA employees are calling it home, too. The Department of Veterans Affairs, the VA, like so many public and private groups, hosts conferences and meetings in Las Vegas due to the case of participant travel, the capacity of the facilities, and the overall cost associating with hosting a conference, he said. Now, according to VA policy, purchase cards may be used at hotels to rent conference rooms or obtain audiovisual equipment or other items for VA meetings. They should not be used to reserve lodging. Auditors have long urged the VA to adopt policies to encourage the use of free conference rooms. Auditors previously faulted the agency for booking rooms at expensive casino hotels without evidence it first had sought free space. In the coming weeks, auditors at the Government Accountability Office, and these are the people who should be running the VA, the Government Accountability Office, not the people who are running it now, and the Inspector General's Office, are to issue reports on purchase card use and spending controls at the VA and other agencies. The reports are expected to show lingering problems at the VA, which auditors cited in 2004 for lax spending controls that wasted up to $1.1 million. The list of charges provided to the Associated Press gives the vendor amount purchased, location, and employee name. In most cases, it does not indicate the specific item purchased. Requests by the Associated Press for lists of the additional data in a timely manner were repeatedly declined on privacy and proprietary grounds. They always decline it on those grounds. Now, the VA list shows that some credit card holders took a modest route. VA employees in locations such as Portland, Oregon, Gainesville, Florida, and Sheridan, Wyoming, had charges for Motel 6 and Travelodge Inns. Nothing wrong with that. One VA headquarters employee appears to have passed up casino hotels by booking at a Holiday Inn Express in Las Vegas for $787.75. For government travel and other spending, you have to be mindful of the appearances you're creating, said Steve Ellis, and he's the vice president of the Watchdog Group. I don't know if you heard of them, Taxpayers for Common Sense.
I know them.
Okay, if you're staying at a hotel in a strip in Vegas, you'd better have a pretty good reason for why a taxpayer should be funding the stay. And that's the bottom line here, and it's not like the VA hasn't gotten into trouble
hold
before.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan Arthur simply pointing out that the Veterans Administration, there's a lot of questions about giving the people these credit cards, and then they'll go out and, of course, take themselves to Las Vegas, supposedly, for meetings, but book expensive places to stay. After all, why should they be concerned about a cost? It's not their money. You find that when people are spending their money, or answerable for it, or will be rewarded for spending less, then, of course, they're going to spend less. If nobody is looking over their shoulder, they're going to spend all they want to, especially when they belong to this imperial bureaucracy. And, of course, these people, instead of being punished if they do anything wrong, are usually promoted. And tragically, whether that's true in the BATF, whether it's true in the CIA, whether it's true in the FBI, it's true in the Veterans Administration as well. So the only way to really get to the bottom of it, actually, Arthur would be to have a congressional investigation if the congressmen don't care. But the congressmen are all, of course, investing in the war industry, so they'll make more money. How can we expect them to be concerned? Because the Veterans Administration is simply milking the system as well. Rather than have the money there for the veterans, they're spending it for their own pleasure and aggrandizement.
Well, this is what we're going to get into now, the investigation. Now, it's not like the VA hasn't gotten into trouble for credit card abuses in the past, and I find it hard to justify any government purchase from the Sharper Image unless you get something really goofy. It's going to be cheaper elsewhere. Now, penalties for misuse of government credit cards range from suspension of the credit card to a reprimand and disciplinary action. Employees may be criminally prosecuted for fraud. More serious cases in recent years involve purchases of computers, televisions, DVD players, and other items that were then sold to friends or kept for personal use. Now, it's all being looked at, said Belinda Finn. She's the VA's Assistant Inspector General for Auditing. In a telephone interview, pointing to Sharper Image purchases in particular, Finn said many of the VA expenses identified by the Associated Press raise serious red flags. And for a lot of the transactions on purchase cards, to be effective, you really need to keep a close watch. It's really the first-level supervisors who know what's going on the most. And congressional leaders said the expenditures were very troubling. Representative Harry Mitchell, who was the chairman of the House Veterans Affairs Subcommittee on Oversight, said he would question VA officials about the purchases at a hearing set for July. Now, Mitchell, Democrat of Arizona, said he feared there may be a growing culture of wasteful spending at the VA, and we all know this is nothing new. So he noted that former VA Secretary Jim Nicholson had awarded more than $3.8 million in bonus payments to senior officials despite their role in crafting a flawed budget that had a $1 billion shortfall, yet he awarded more than $3.8 million in bonus payments to these people. Now, it seems irresponsible that while our veterans are waiting months for doctor's appointments, the VA is spending thousands of dollars at Las Vegas casino hotels and high-end retail shops instead of seeking out more affordable or cost-free alternatives. This is what Mitchell said. Now, Senator Daniel Akaka, who is the chairman of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, said he planned to closely review the upcoming audit reports to see if spending controls need to be tightened. Now, I remain concerned that the federal government may end up paying more than necessary when employees purchase items one by one, said Akaka, Democrat of Hawaii. Why, I'm confident that the vast majority of these charges are appropriate and legal. I urge the VA to aggressively investigate allegations of fraud. By the way, Akaka was one of the Democrats who caved in to Mr. Peek being picked as the new secretary of the VA. Akaka was one of the first to cave in, and somebody who I thought had a lot more gumption to fight this, Senator Patty Murray of Washington State, she was the second to cave in. Meanwhile, Obama wasn't around. He's on the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, too. He must have been out with Oprah somewhere. Over the years, lawmakers and watchdog groups have pointed to the potential abuse of government purchase cards, particularly at large agencies such as Defense, Homeland Security, and VA, where card spending for goods range from defibrillators and prosthetics to Starbucks coffee. It's climbed from $1.7 billion in 2003 to $2.6 billion today.
No, what has climbed?
The spending.
Spending, okay, fine. We're going to be back in just a moment with Arthur Bernclough, talking about, of course, the tragic situation that exists in the Veterans Administration, where they don't have the time and the money to take care of the veterans. They're so busy looking after themselves and their friends. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Thank you.
right, Arthur. Go right ahead. Is there anything else you want to cover on this fact?
Yes, yeah. The last line you said is very significant to this. The bottom line here is while all this is going on, they are still 770,000 claims behind on disabled veteran claims that are waiting to get paid.
Well, now, wait a minute now, because there's 770,000. Those must be a lot of claims referable to the first Gulf War then.
That's right.
And what about the second Gulf War? How are they doing as far as taking care of the other veterans who are coming home from the from Iraq and Afghanistan?
They still haven't appropriated the money for more PTSD counselors. It still has not been appropriated. They're dragging their behinds on it.
But, of course, are these people really post-traumatic stress syndrome, or do they have other diseases? Certainly, if they've been experimenting on our troops this time, like they did during the Gulf War, and they have real autoimmune disease and real either infections or altered immune responses during the experimental vaccines, how do we know, of course, what's wrong with these people? The government is never going to admit that they...
No, they're hiding
troops with Agent Orange in Vietnam. They're never going to admit, of course, the experiments they carried out during the first Gulf War, which is covered in our four-tape set called Vaccine A. That was the experimental vaccine they used with squalene. Or certainly they're never going to admit what they've done this time to our boys. This is all top secret. They can't let the American people know that they use our soldiers as guinea pigs, and that's unconscionable.
Look, it took 25 years and two court decisions to have certain things put down as being caused by Agent Orange. They fought it for 25 years, and they fought two court decisions, tooth and nail. They fought the diabetes thing, tooth and nail here.
Now
it's a presumptive disease of serving in Vietnam.
The diabetes, you mean?
Yeah.
I was fine. What did they find? Was there a toxicity of Agent Orange for the pancreatic islands?
Yeah,
along
they found that they found it is due to the Agent Orange. Quite a few of the cases are due to the Agent Orange, and they wouldn't admit it for 25 years.
Sure. Well, they'd rather lie than tell the truth, and that's unfortunate because, of course, when you do that, why, you, of course, totally destroy the morale of the military and of the Veterans Administration.
Now, you know, in the past, these cards have been improperly used to pay for prostitutes, gambling activity, and even breast implants. Now, after Hurricane Katrina in 2005, the Government Accountability Office estimated that 45% of Homeland Security purchase card spending during a six-month period was improper and included iPods, designer rain jackets.
Hold on, talk for just a moment, please.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Arthur is talking still about the improper use of the government credit cards by the Veterans Administration, pointing out that while, of course, they're squandering their money on trips to Las Vegas and breast implants and other things like that for people in the VA, and not for, the, of course, the veterans, but for people who work for the Veterans Administration, there are over 700,000 veterans claims that have not been evaluated, some of them from the first Gulf War and most of them from the second Gulf War. So you go right ahead.
Okay. And, you know, the credit card bills are directly payable by Uncle Sam. And in 2004, the Government Accounting Office faulted the VA for at least $300,000 in questionable charges, citing 3,348 movie gift certificates totaling over $30,000 that lacked documentation. And echoing similar concerns by the department's inspector general, investigators urged greater use of volume discounts and flagged several high-end retailers as questionable vendors that would require detailed paperwork to justify it. Among other areas, investigators say raise red flags. Movie expenses. VA employees in 2007 made 68 charges, totaling roughly $21,000 at Regal Cinemas. In light of previous questionable purchases of movie tickets, investigators say they will review the transactions case by case to see if the 2007 purchases are supported by the proper paperwork. And I'll bet you dollars to donuts they're not supported by the proper paperwork. And charges of $227.50 for harbor cruises in Baltimore Harbor, and seven expenses totaling more than $6,603 at various Macy's locations. Such vendors were cited by the Government Accountability Office in 2004 and questionable by virtue of the goods they typically provided and would need full documentation by VA employees to justify. Now, this is 2004, and nothing has changed in all this time.
Well, of course, you don't expect it to change, Arthur, because government, by its very essence, is corruption and, of course, inefficiency. So, basically, where do we stand as far as our veterans is concerned? You said there are 700,000?
770,000 disabled veteran claims that they're stalling on paying.
All right, of course, now what can be done about it? Is there any concern in Congress at all about
it? See, their weapon is the remand. You take it from the regional office up to the Board of Veterans' Appeals, and the Board of Veterans' Appeals remands it back to the regional office.
Now, what about the fact that now they can actually have a lawyer to represent them?
Now they can.
They can?
Yes, they can now.
Right.
They can have a lawyer represent them. Now, you see, again, there's another question here. Now, do you want the lawyer to represent you on a VA adjudication? I say get him into federal court. Get him into a real court in front of a real judge, not that phony veterans court. You know, in that veterans court, they have like somewhere around 200 veteran wins out of more than 18,000 cases that appeared before that court. They have only something like 200 veteran wins.
Well, then why don't you try to do away with that whole system and allow these veterans to go directly into the court? What can you do to circumvent, of course, these programs that have been set up just to delay and delay and delay veterans from getting any benefit?
You see, here's what happens, Dr. Stan. If they can delay the veteran until one of two things happen, the veteran dies, or the veteran gives up after many, many years of frustration and says, the hell with it. This is exactly, the VA gets another win by default. This is exactly the reason here that they're doing this. And, okay, I'm very concerned about frivolous, wasteful spending at the VA, said Paul Sullivan. He's the executive director of Veterans for Common Sense. I've talked with him many times before. With hundreds of thousands of veterans homeless, VA employees don't need to be staying at these ritzy, glitzy, high-priced hotels and possibly gambling with taxpayers' money. I mean, they have a conference or a convention. Make them have it at McKeesport, Pennsylvania, not Las Vegas. That'll put an end to it.
Well, let's hope so. Anyway, let's hope the congressional investigation will be underway. And when will the congressional investigation begin?
Supposed to be starting in July.
All right.
Don't forget, this is the same bunch at the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee who caved in to appointing Peek as the secretary of the VA. Now, there was supposed to be a Senate confirmation. It turned out to be a Senate coronation. He was surrounded on one side by Inouye of Hawaii, World War II hero, and Dole on the other side. They're playing the hero bit. And, replacing Nicholson with Peek, and Peek came out of the same QTC corporation Principe fame, where Principe made his $250,000 bonus. Peek came out of that same corporation, and Nicholson played ball with that corporation, and replacing Nicholson with Peek, I would say that's very similar to replacing Lucky Luciano with Al Capone.
I think you probably should explain to our listeners about this sweetheart deal that they have where, of course, they send the veterans for private examinations. And now, why don't you get into that?
Oh,
because
yes.
This is one of the great scams of all time. Instead of the Veterans Administration doing the exams for $75 or so, they pay private corporations that are tied into people like, is Nicholson into that?
Yep, Nicholson was into it, too.
And, of course,
Nicholson carried on Principe's work, and Peek is carrying on Nicholson's work. And Peek was the executive director of QTC Corporation. Now, he gave up the job because he says it was a conflict of interest. But in order, when they do a physical evaluation on a disabled veteran or on returning troops from Iraq or Afghanistan, the government is charged back $89.80 to do that. When it's done, when this is done by the QTC Corporation, the government is charged back $495 to do that same physical evaluation. But, the veteran and the returning troops are being cheated out of an MD evaluation and examination because the evaluation is done by the clerks at the QTC company who sign off to a doctor who may be on staff, or he's probably on staff, but he has not examined the veteran, nor has he even seen the veteran.
Well, now, how could they possibly charge over $400 for an examination?
That's what they're doing.
Done by a doctor? And where is congressional oversight on that obvious waste of money? And how much does this actually cost? This is getting up to, what, hundreds of millions of dollars?
It's non-existent. Here's what it cost us. Principi's deal, where he got $250,000 as a bonus, increased, he quadrupled the contract between QTC and the VA. He quadrupled the contract to the tune of $1.2 billion, and Peake says he's going to double it. Meanwhile, where is the accountability? Where is the Government Accountability Office? Where is the Senate? Where is Congress?
Well, why didn't somebody simply report that? You know, there are whistleblowers situations where, of course, you can get a percentage of the money, of course, that's recovered. I mean, why doesn't somebody simply make
a whistleblower? They all know about it. Everybody in the Beltway in Washington, everybody in the Beltway is privy to this information. Of what is going on, but nobody seems to want to do anything about this now.
Why? That's the question. Why?
Well, I sent 240 pages out to Gordon Erspammer, who's got this case out in San Francisco for the 800,000 veterans. That case is that trial is proceeding right now. I sent him the information. Now, I had asked Gonzalez. I had asked Mr. Gonzalez, our former attorney general. I sent him the same information, and I had asked him to go after Mr. Principi. And what I got from Gonzalez, quote-unquote, was, we can't touch Gonzalez. He's too high up on the food chain. That's exactly what I got from him. Now, Gonzalez was added to the people that are being prosecuted. Nicholson is being prosecuted in that suit. And Gonzalez has been added to it.
Now, but it was Principi. It wasn't, you asked Gonzalez, and he said Principi is too big to touch.
Yeah, too high up on the food chain. And I told him, I said, hey, you and Principi would make good cellmates. And he said to me, what do you have against Principi? He's a nice guy. I said, I don't have anything personal against Principi. It's just that I'd like to get a license plate made up in stir by him for my trivia collection. But I've got nothing personal against Principi. It's not a personal matter. It's a matter of screwing the American public and the taxpayer and the veteran and everyone else in sight. And it's a matter of their attitude of public be damned.
Now, is there going to be a lawsuit brought against them?
There is a lawsuit now going against the... against Gonzalez. He's been added. He's been added to the group that they're suing out in San Francisco.
All right, fine. And Chris, what is the suit based upon?
The suit is based upon constitutional and civil rights grounds.
Is it going to be held in federal court?
It is in federal court in San Francisco in the Ninth Circuit.
All right, fine. Are they going after Nicholson as well?
Oh, yes, Nicholson is the prime person that they're going after. Now, why can't they go after Principi? There's a technicality. If he got his money more than 24 hours before he took office, and he did, he got his money a little more than 24 hours before he took office, there's some kind of a technicality that they're not going after him. They found a little glitch in the law, and they're playing that as a trump card.
And so basically, to bring our listeners out there, you have to understand what we're talking about is These are physical examinations. Instead of doing them by the VA for $89, they're sending to private corporations which are tied into this little cabal of people who are associated with the Veterans Administration. And you're talking about...
That's a perfect billion. Name, Doctor. That's a perfect name for them, a cabal.
And they're talking about several billion dollars that they're reaping the government. And of course, senators, the congressmen know about it, and nobody will stand up and say anything. Now, are they giving donations to the senators and congressmen? Is that how they're keeping them from being concerned? Do we have any idea?
I can't accuse, but I think you hit it right on the head. I think you hit it right on the head that they got their hands in everybody's pocket, wherever and whenever they can. Now, here's something else. They had, and I fought against this, and I may have been wrong, but in principle I was right. They had something called the Veterans Disability Benefits Commission that Mr. Bush put together. They had 13 people on this commission, 9 from the Republican Party that were picked by the Republican Party, and 4 from the Democrats. And the Democrats were just as bad as the Republicans. And the Veterans Disability Commission, it was chaired by General Scott, who I had fought against General Scott in Alabama, and everyone who is a veterans advocate has fought at one time or another with General Scott. But I was surprised by this commission. As reactionary as a group, as reactionary as they were, they came up with 113 different recommendations and findings, including a 25% raise in disability compensation for disabled veterans, when it was shown that disabled veterans had not had a raise in disability since 1945. That's World War II. 62 years. I'm not counting the COLAs, the 2 or 3% they have every year with the COLAs. They have not actually had a raise, and they suggested 25% raise as starters for these people who are living on, you know, substandard income. And Mr. Bush, his reaction to it, and this is Bush's own committee, and they really surprised me because they came through, and they came through with some beautiful recommendations. But Mr. Bush said, if Congress approves this and votes this in as law, he will veto the pay raise.
Well, so much for really caring for our veterans, these men who fought so bravely for America. In other words, it's all rhetoric, it's all smoke and mirrors.
Exactly.
All, to give you the impression we're really concerned about them, but they could care less about the veterans of our country.
Yeah, exactly. They couldn't care less. There is one other thing that's being hidden by our media, and you're probably familiar with this. You heard about the in Jerusalem. There's a seminary there called the Merkaz Haray Seminary. It's a rabbinical school.
I really don't know what to tell.
Okay, there were eight. Eight students were gunned down by a gunman.
All right, fine. I know what you're speaking of then.
And our media, there happened to be an off-duty soldier there who had a gun, who stopped this. And it proves a good guy with a gun can always stop a bad guy with a gun. Now, if we had something like this happen at Northern Illinois University and IU or Virginia Tech, if somebody there was there with a gun to stop this, we wouldn't have had these murders. And our media is keeping this secret. None of the newspapers here have written up and this man played a crucial role in stopping a gun-wielding terrorist. And the American press has been downplaying his heroism because it proves that armed students can stop campus gunmen.
Well, of course, every college in America is a shooting field because, of course, nobody can have a weapon there. Arthur,
exactly.
We're just about out of time. I want you to get your telephone number out. I want you to get your website out where people can get in touch with you.
Okay. My telephone number to reach me is 631 area code 474-4261. We help veterans with their problems with the VA, with the and other government agencies. And if you want to write me, we're Veterans for Constitutional Law Limited, and we're at 112 Jefferson Avenue, and that's in Port Jefferson, New York, 11777.
Now, one more time, your telephone number.
It's 631 area code 474-4261, and all calls will be answered, and all letters will be answered. And what we're trying to do here is...
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Arthur Bernclough. Arthur, let's get a parting thought for you before we let you go.
Okay, now, this fellow who was 40 years old, but he's a private citizen now who is off duty from the service. And he had a gun license. And I don't know if you call this a conspiracy with the press here, with the media, but we call it bunch in Washington. We call them the Brady Bunch, Senator Schumer, Senator Leahy, Caroline McCarthy. And what they're doing is they're purposely downplaying this. And not only downplaying, but the man was not even mentioned in any of the newspapers here, but it's in every single newspaper and radio station in Europe. Yes. But here, you know, we killed the news. We didn't want this published.
Well, of course, we have freedom of the press here. The people who control the press have the freedom to suppress any story they
exactly.
want to. They do not want an armed American public. We're out of time. God bless you. Thanks very much.
Dr. Stan, thank you very much for allowing me the time to reach your audience.
And so one more time, I want you to get your telephone number out, I want you to get your address out.
Okay, Arthur Bernclough, Executive Director of Veterans for Constitutional Law. You can reach me, 631 area, 474-4261. If you're writing, it's Veterans for Constitutional Law Limited. And we're located at 112 Jefferson Avenue, Port Jefferson, New York, 11777. And if you get yourself an attorney and you want to have that attorney evaluated, we will do that for you at no charge. We'll evaluate that attorney and tell you whether he's going to be good for your case or to keep looking for another attorney.
All right. Well, I thank you for everything you're doing to help our veterans, Arthur. It's a... they need an advocate, and you and Veterans for Constitutional Law are doing a great deal of good, and I want you to know, at least from our point of view, why, of course, you're doing more than any of the other veterans organizations. God bless you. And
well, God bless you, Dr. Stan, for bringing the truth to American.
God bless.
American public.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
And, of course, I think it's important that people understand that our veterans are simply being used as pawns in a game. We're fighting wars. We're not trying to win these wars. Please go to my website of RadioLiberty.com and, of course, get the article that was written by Major General Smedley Butler, the most highly decorated Marine veterans of the 30s in America. And he said, war is a racket. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. And, of course, I just wanted to finish our program here with one of my favorite poems. And it talks about the veterans. And here's what it is. It's called The Unknown Soldier. There's a graveyard near the White House where the unknown soldier lies. And the flowers there are sprinkled with the tears from mother's eyes. I stood there not so long ago with roses for the brave, and suddenly I heard a voice speak from out the grave. I am the unknown soldier, the spirit voice began, and I think I have the right to ask some questions man to man. Are my buddies taken care of? Was the victory so sweet as that big reward you offered selling pencils on the street? Did they really win the freedom they battled to achieve? Do you still respect the Croix de Guerre above that empty sleeve? Does the gold star in the window now mean anything at all? I wonder how my old girl feels when she hears the bugle call. And that baby who sang, "Hello, Central, give me no man's land." Can they replace her daddy with a military band? I wonder if the profiteers have satisfied their greed. I wonder if a soldier's mother ever is in need. I wonder if the kings who plant it all are really satisfied. They played their game of checkers, and 11 million died. I am the unknown soldier, and maybe I died in vain. But if I were alive and my country called, I'd do it all over again. Certainly a poem well worthwhile repeating over and over again. If you'd like, of course, to understand how they use our men as guinea pigs for experiments of one sort or another, whether it be radiation or vaccine experiments or horrible and grotesque experiments, of course, this is the Rockefeller Committee report, came out of the Veterans Administration back in 1994. It's available from Radio Liberty. They've done everything they can to suppress it. It's really the Veterans Commission report. We call it the Rockefeller Committee report. We have an excellent DVD put out by our friend Joyce Riley about the depleted uranium that they're using over there to poison our boys today. The DVD is called Beyond Treason, and when you get that, you get a CD-ROM with thousands of pages of government documents that are being actively suppressed because they don't want the American people or the soldiers to realize that they're poisoning our men and destroying their lives. Of course, we have the book Project Daylily, written by our good friend Dr. Garth Nicholson. That's Project Daylily. And it goes into the new diseases they've created. Many of them, of course, associated with Gulf War illness. And they intentionally poisoned our boys, and they gave them a chronic illness that'll be with them the rest of their lives. The four-tape set called Vaccine A, based upon my interviews with the author of the book by the same name. And then, of course, our four-tape set on the Gulf War illness. All of these are available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get the suggested gift for these items, we think they're important. We think that you have to know that they're using our men as guinea pigs, and there's nothing new about this. They've done this on our own citizens, whether it be the Tuskegee study, or where, of course, they condemned 400 black men to death by withholding treatment for their syphilis, because they wanted to autopsy them. They wanted to cut them open and look at them on the inside. And what gross thing could this be? And yet so many physicians supported it, all in the name of science. And the plutonium studies, where they took orphans in Sydney, children living in institutions, and force-fed them plutonium and gave the plutonium to the children, or certainly the ringworm children over in Israel, using American, of course, X-ray machines. They shaved the heads on over 100,000 of them and gave them lethal doses of radiation, many of them mentally defective to this day, and many of them with no hair, still can't grow hair. And we're talking about 50 years later. Or, of course, the Yemeni children who were brought to America for the radiation experiments. All you have to do is look up the Yemeni children on the Internet, find out these stories. They're not imaginary, they're real. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection. And check and find if it's true.